sounds so nice. Let's sing it once again now. With all of our hearts, let's praise Him. Tonight, let's just join together our hearts in praise and worship. Let's sing that song, White as Snow, White as Snow,
White as Snow, White as Snow. Though my sins were as scarlet, Lord, I
search for all eternity, Lord.
sing that song, I just want to be where you are. Amen. You want to be where he is. You want to be close to him. Amen.
Oh, I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. Oh, I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table.
let's sing it again now. Sister Carrie Whitlock is home. I believe she has an infection. I want to remember her in prayer today. Also want to thank, there's a note here from Brother Luther says, we want to thank the Lord. Mother's procedure, Mary Ann. That's for Brother Luther. Okay, Brother Barry's going to make that announcement. I believe that one's for Brother Luther. Brother Barry, do you want to come at this time? Take those, brother.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated just for a moment here. Is this on, Joe? This afternoon where she had some injections that were done and trusting that will be a fix for the problem that she's been experiencing, and we'll know that in just a little while, but she had that procedure done this afternoon. Also, as well, and I didn't put this in an update because I wanted to bring it to you here this evening. Sister Molly, as you know, has been in the hospital for the last week and a half or so, and she had a problem with her feet, both feet, but her left foot was worse, and she was losing feeling in her feet, which is not very good. She has problems with diabetes and congestive heart failure, which means that her heart is not beating strong, and when you have diabetes and weak heart, that's a bad combination for extremities. And so what happened was is that she went in the hospital and they did give her antibiotics to try to clear up the infection that was in her feet, and it worked marginally, and the doctor was watching her feet and watching the improvement to see if there was any change with the antibiotic that they were giving her. The problem was is that over time, there was not a significant improvement because she didn't have blood flow. She didn't have blood flow to her feet, and they could hardly detect a pulse. You know, if you put your finger near your ankle bone, you can usually pick up a pulse. In her, there was practically no pulse in her left leg. It was a little bit one in the right. So without a blood flow, life is in the blood and healing is in the blood. Without the blood flow, there is only one thing that happens, and that is literally her foot dies, and she would have to lose her foot. And as a result of that, today they went in as a last resort. They went in and put two stents in her leg, one right behind her knee where there was a clog in the artery that runs down, the main artery that runs down your leg. And they found several places where there was blockage, and they put two stents in there to try to open up the channel, get the blood flowing and see if we could get some healing down through there. So they did that operation today. They did that procedure today. And I managed to get down right before she went into the operating room. Luther and I went in there, and Drusilla and Sister Mary Ann, we went in the pre-op area and talked with her, and we prayed for her twice while she was in there. She understood completely the seriousness of the situation and the consequences if she didn't have the right blood flow going there. So she was in great spirits. I thought she handled it very well, and we were just trusting that the Lord would see her through. As a result of the procedure, it takes about 3 hours to do. They did get two stents in there, and the doctor said the blood flow was improved to that part of her leg. So that's all we know at this point. So time will tell whether healing occurs. But if it doesn't occur, then we have another situation on our hands. But we're going to pray. That's why I wanted to bring it to you carefully tonight. I want all of us to take this on our hearts and just to really pray tonight and also in the days ahead until you hear something from me. I want you to just put that on your hearts and write it down and keep it with you just so that we can hold her up before the Lord, because we know that God's able to do it. The doctors have essentially done everything they know to do, and they've done the right thing in this situation, but now it just depends on her heart being able to push the blood down through there and bring the healing that she needs. And she has another spot on the other foot, and so this is something that, you know, her heart needs to do. And at 87 years old, it's not always the easiest thing to do. So we're going to ask you to just to take that need on your hearts this evening, and we want to hold her up in prayer at this time and then over the next couple of days especially. It's going to be critical to see how that happens. So see how that healing occurs. So if you don't mind, let's stand back up to our feet again, and let's sing that little chorus here, "My Prayer, O Lord, from the Ends of the Earth." Let's sing this together, and I want you to join me in prayer now as we bring these requests and all these requests that we've been given tonight before Him. Hear my prayer, O Lord, from the ends of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, hear my prayer, O Lord. From the ends of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my strength in times of trouble, a tower above mine enemies. And Lord, mine with you forever in the shadow. Times of trouble, a tower above my enemies. Lord, I will abide with you forever in the shelter of your wings. Let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence tonight, thanking you for this opportunity we have to step aside from the world and the busyness of this world and come, Lord, in your presence tonight and bring these requests before you. And Lord, every request is something we know that is known to you, Lord, and you already know the outcome of everything that we could ever ask because, Lord, you know the future as well as you know the present. But, Father God, tonight as a body of believers, your prophet taught us, Lord, not to try to figure things out or try to fix the blame for things. But he taught us, Lord, just to only believe that all things are possible. And so tonight we bind our faith together on behalf of Sister Molly. And Lord, you have ministered to Sister Molly many times over many years. You have helped her, Lord, in many circumstances. We're asking just once more, Lord, that you would reach down now and just bring healing to her body, Lord. I pray that you would improve her circulation, that, Lord, she might have the right blood flow, because we know that life is in the blood. And Father God, we just bring her before you in humility, Lord, and asking, oh God, that your saint, Lord, would just be touched tonight. And Father, she would receive strength and virtue that comes only from the divine physician. And Lord, these doctors and nurses have done everything they know to do, Lord. And we thank you for them. And thank you, Lord, for the medicines and everything else, Lord, that is designed to help. But Father, sometimes we need to take that need a little bit higher. And we need to bring that need to you and that saint to you, Lord, tonight. And so, Father God, we bind our faith together, and we believe, Lord, that you are able, and we are asking, oh God, that you would move on the scene for Sister Molly. We commit her need to you, Lord, and just trust now that you would touch her, strengthen her, take away all fear and all doubt, and Lord, may you just minister strength and healing to Sister Molly. We ask you, Lord, to bless her and bless this service, all that is done, Lord, we commit it to you. In the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one more little chorus, Have Your Way, and then we're going to look to the Word tonight. Have your way. Have your way. Okay. All right. We'll do that. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. To our hearts and have your way. Little Mike. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen. One more time, have your way.
Have your way. Have your way. Fill our hearts and have.
Said, you may take your Bibles tonight and let's look in the scripture in two places. Genesis chapter 16. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Brother Keith, for coming tonight. And all of our musicians, Genesis 16, and we're going to look in the book of Mark, also chapter 16. If you can get those two places there tonight. Good to have all of you with us tonight. Good to have Peter and his family back. Good to have the Vasakis here tonight. God bless you. Good to have the Whitlocks here tonight. God bless you. Good to have, well, you know what? It's just good to have everybody tonight. And it's especially good because you're here tonight going to witness a baptism. We're going to baptize 11 tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're excited about that tonight. And anybody else who wants to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have enough water for everybody. And it has never been a better time for you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ than tonight. So we're going to do that right at the end of service. Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. This is Hagar. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer-lahai-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Mark chapter 16. We're going to title this tonight, The Regular Commission. Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe, and in my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated this evening, except Rob Avery. Rob, stand up just for a moment. This is Brother Rob Avery, and he is just happens to be passing through between Phoenix and Maryland. Thanks, Brother Rob. You can have your seat. Rob is a member of the team that works for ODS, Our Daily Strength. And he came tonight on his way back up to Maryland, and we're delighted to have him with us tonight. He writes iOS code for ODS. That's a lot of abbreviations, but that's what I have written down here. And I'm not supposed to say anything else about that. But he does write code for ODS, and let me just say this. I was in Quebec up there, and there was two or three families that came to me, but one in particular, and he took my hand, and he said, is that your son that writes ODS? And I said, yes, it is. And I said, he has a team of young men who work with him and ladies who work with him, sorry. And they do an outstanding job. Everything is written already for the year 2017. And I said, but Steve writes all of those devotionals individually himself. He said, I would like you to take my sincere thanks back to Steve and his team and tell him personally how much that these devotionals mean to me every single day. He said, I read them and our family reads them. And he said, it's just a blessing not only to me, but to many families in our church. And he said, we really do appreciate that. And he said, I want you to take that back to Steve. And I said, I surely would. But I need to broaden that picture just a little bit, because Our Daily Strength is read in 149 countries in the world. It also has been hit over a million times on the internet. So a million times that's been opened and read by people. It also has quite a congregation, because there are 27,000 daily users of Our Daily Strength. That's a pretty good sized congregation that Steve has. So I will tell you that wherever I go in the world, people they make that connection and they ask me about that, and we just really do appreciate that effort that goes out. It's a great testimony and a great occupation for those young men, these young men and women who are here that participate in that, and they have more to come. I'm not allowed to say anything, but I'm just telling you that they have more to come. It'd be exciting. Also wanted to say today as well that Brother Elias, I never mentioned last Sunday, but Brother Elias is coming from Tanzania. He's going to be here 2 days before the men's meeting, and he's going to be staying just about for the whole month of October. And so he's, for those of brothers that are going to be at the men's meeting, you'll get to meet him there. And then he'll be coming through, and he'll be here on one of those weekends. There's several churches that want to have him. In Texas with Brother McGarry, and out in Arkansas with Brother Frank McComas. He's going to Happy Valley over there, and several other churches want to have him in between, as well as he's going to be going with Jordan Peterson out to Tucson to visit the sites out there, and then Jeffersonville to see the sites over there. So I think we'll just get him as a ship passing in the night here. But you'll finally get a chance to meet him and to spend a little time with him. And it'll be a blessing, I know, because Brother Elias is a great man. And I will just say this, because he won't want me to say this. He won't want me to say this when he's here. But Brother Elias was the roommate of the current president of Tanzania in college. So the man who's the current president of Tanzania, who's in the United Nations now in New York, he was a roommate with Brother Elias for 4 years in college. So when he was elected into office, he contacted Brother Elias and said, "Hey, I got jobs. I got things to do here." He says, "Come on and name your job, name your salary." He says, "Come on, work for the government. As long as I'm here," he said, "you know, we'll be able to give you any job you want." As he was wanting to surround himself with good people who could take the responsibility. And Elias told him right away, "Hey, I'm a pastor of a church." And he said, "Thanks, but no thanks." He said, "I'll stay with the church, stay with the ministry and what God's called me to do." And I thought, that's a man of character, because he could be doing a lot of different things today. And I just appreciate his love for the Lord and his love and care for the people, not only in his church, but also in all of the nation of Tanzania. All right, so we're going to take a little thought here this evening, and I'm going to be talking about the subject of healing and the regular commission that Brother Branham referred to, that we as believers are responsible for. So I need to lay a little groundwork, but I'm going to try to go quickly here because we've got a baptism tonight, and so I want to make sure that we have enough time to enjoy the baptism this evening. In 1964, Brother Branham said, "You know, it becomes so common to them till they said, 'Our soul loatheth this bread.'" These are the children of Israel out in the wilderness. And that's the way it's been with us. He said healing, but God's always had a healing outlet somewhere. God's always had a healing outlet somewhere. Even he had an angel in a pool once and the brass serpent in the wilderness. You've always had symbols of healing. And that is true. Now, if that is true, the way that he says it right here, there has to be a healing outlet here today, right? The problem that we have, I think, as believers that we've fallen into, and this the thinking that we have, is that most of the healing that has been done was done in Brother Branham's day and Brother Branham's ministry. And so, therefore, healing has, in a sense, been pushed back a little bit because Brother Branham's not here. And I want to correct that tonight. I want to correct that in our thinking because, you know, God is still the same, just the same as he was when Brother Branham was here. And God is still able to do miracles today, the same as he ever was. The principle and the promise of healing is not any different today than what it was back in the day when Brother Branham was on the earth, or even when Jesus was on the earth. Now, let me give you a couple of basics here. All healing comes from God. Healing does not come from Satan. And everybody said? Amen. So don't go around saying that, "Well, God gave me this leprosy, and, you know, God gave me this, and God gave me something else." All healing comes from God. It does not come from Satan. Okay? So Satan's not a healer. That would defeat his purpose entirely. A gift of healing is designed to get attention from the public for something that's coming fresh from God. And it is ordained by God. A gift of healing is not the commission that God gives to us. A gift of healing is a special gift that God places on the earth at a particular time because the need is great. And because God is fixing to do something special, and by that gift he gets the attention of the people on the earth. Okay, is that clear? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul describes the body, and in it he says everybody doesn't have the gift of healing, just like everybody doesn't have the gift of helps or the gift of prophecy or the gift of preaching. But to every man, they're given a manifestation of the Spirit to profit the body in some way. So some people are musicians, some people are preachers, some people are witnessers on the street, some people are good at going in the hospital and praying for the sick. Some people are dreamers. Some people are, gifted in different ways. But everybody has something that they have to be able to contribute to the function of the body of Christ. Right? Some people are hospitable, and we need hospitable people. Some people are, they're prayer warriors, and we need prayer warriors in our church. My goodness, we need people to pray in times like this. And so therefore, there are gifts that are given to the body, and the laying on of hands is one of those gifts. But there's also this thing called the gift of healing, and that's different than the regular commission that God gives to us in Mark chapter 16. Now, let me just broaden your thinking just a little bit. In Psalm 34, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of most of their troubles. That's not what it says. The Lord delivers the righteous out of all of their troubles. Aren't you glad for that? That's a promise that's still good today. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When somebody comes to God with a repentant heart and a humble heart, and they're willing to admit they're wrong, let me tell you, the Lord loves that, and he draws near to that. And also to somebody who has a broken heart. It is not always a physical illness or a sickness or a problem that the Lord is able to heal. He's able to heal everything that goes wrong in a human life and in a human experience. Are we okay with that? I mean, there are things that happen in life. There are disappointments. There are divorces. There are deaths. There are things that happen. And you may not have anything physical happen to you, but you're greatly affected by the things that go on in your life. And sometimes it can be, it can be verbal, it can be mental, it can be emotional. There are things that happen to people close to us and things that happen within relationships, and it definitely will affect us, and the Lord is able to heal all of those things that occur within our life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So don't limit God to just physical problems. He's a healer of all. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul takes this in the New Testament, and he says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Now, the people in Thessalonica were under a great pressure and a great strain and great persecution. And so Paul says, we deferred to Athens, and we sent Timothy over to encourage the folks, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, and they had many, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Did you get that? For yourselves know that we are appointed. There's trouble appointed along the road for all of us. There's difficulties. The afflictions of the righteous are multitude. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So sometimes just for doing right, there is trouble ahead. Sometimes just for doing the right thing, there are afflictions and there are pressures and there are misunderstandings that come just because we're doing the right thing. It happens, folks, and it happens even in our time, and I believe it's getting worse and worse as we go on. In 1965, Brother Branham said in Birth Pains, he said, "Now Billy asked me the question, shall I go over and give out cards, prayer cards?" And I said, "No, Billy, let's have the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do tonight. And let him maybe build faith and just be healed right where you're at." He said, "Divine healing is a minor in the gospel, and you can never major on a minor." He said, "But it's a bait that's used to get people to believe in the supernatural presence of God. And the supernatural is present. And by that, if they can recognize his presence, they are healed by faith, believing it. Now, Brother Branham, I gotta qualify this a little bit. Brother Branham's not minimizing healing. Because if you've been pronounced with cancer, that's not a minor thing. If you're sitting in a hospital like Sister Molly tonight, it's not a minor thing. You're looking for the healer to come on the scene. Because sometimes it's a matter of life and death. And sometimes it's an issue that is really going to change things. But God uses the action of divine healing, and he uses that supernatural phenomena to get people to believe that, all right, this is not this man on the platform here. This is not William Branham that's actually doing this. It's not William Branham discerning the people's names and their conditions and then praying for them and seeing them miraculously healed. This is not William Branham doing this. It's got to be a higher power. And once the people tap into the truth that there's a higher power, and that higher power is not a million miles away, but he's right here, then you know what? I can touch the hem of his garment as he passes by, and I can be healed tonight myself. And Brother Branham wanted the people to believe that. He wanted them to see the gift in operation. He wanted them to see how perfectly God can operate a gift. But let me tell you, God knew that William Branham would not be here till the very end. But you know what we should have after all of the evidence of all of that infallible work that God did? We should have the confidence that the same God that William Branham served is here tonight among us. Because two or three are gathered in His name and we are here, in that environment, in His presence here. And therefore tonight there's nothing, absolutely nothing stopping you from touching the hem of His garment as He passes by if you can recognize the supernatural in our midst. And I believe that's what He's trying to get us to understand. It's a bait. It's something that perks you up. When a fish sees bait, hopefully he perks up and says, "Whoa, hey, dinner's on, folks. Dinner's arrived." And it does something to him when a fish sees that, or when a deer sees bait out there, and it gets your attention to believe something. But you know what? God wants our attention to go higher. I got a problem. I got an ache. I got a pain. Doctor says this. Doctor says we got to have tests. We got a growth in there. We don't know what it is. Hey, we prayed for Sister Fulcher on Sunday because she had a scan coming up. Completely clear. Completely clear. We prayed for Sister Molly today to have a pulse. She's got a pulse. Let me tell you, God, He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Divine healing did not depend on the presence of William Branham. Brother Branham had a gift of healing, but divine healing does not depend on the physical presence of William Branham. Is that okay? Brother Branham says in exhortation of divine healing, he said, "Now Jesus spit on some mud and made a cake and put it on the man's eye. Another man's ear, he spit and touched his tongue." He said, "Naaman was supposed to dip 7 times in the Jordan." One thing for sure, you couldn't put Jesus in a box and say he did this every time that somebody needed to be healed. Didn't do it at all. Sometimes he just spoke from a distance, didn't touch anybody, right? Remember the lepers that came? All 10 of them were healed. Never touched one of them. Elisha didn't have to do that to Naaman. He didn't have to tell Naaman to dip 7 times in the Jordan. He could have just spoken to Naaman and he would have been healed. He could have just laid a hand on him and he would have been healed. He didn't have to do that, but it was a symbol that the prophet gave him to do. And sometimes God does that. And God sends some of us forth to do certain things. I was supposed to pray for the sick people. That's what Brother Rand says. God sent me forth to pray for sick people. I noticed when I was just a young Baptist preacher that people would come up in our congregation and we'd pray for them and they'd get well. And he said, "I didn't know nothing about any gift of healing, but that's what I was sent to do." Because the angel told him in the cave, "You're going to be sent forth to pray for kings and senators and so forth and monarchs and the people. And if you can get the people to believe, then, they will be healed and so forth. If you can be sincere and get the people to believe," he said, "all of these things will happen." So that's what he was sent out to do. When the angel gave Brother Branham the commission, as far as we know, as far as what Brother Branham related to us, the angel never told Brother Branham, "Listen, you're going to be instrumental in opening up the book of the Revelation and the seals and the thunders and explaining all of that to the people. And you're going to write a book that's 7 church ages and all that." The angel never told Brother Branham any of those details, as far as we know, in the initial commission that he gave him in that cave. He just told him, he said, "Hey, I'm sending you out." He said, "And you've all read the commission in different times past." And it's very simple. It's very straightforward. And he says, "If you will be sincere and get the people to believe, nothing will stand before your prayer, not even cancer." And then he gave him scriptures like the woman at the well and talking about discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There was a lot more to come in the ministry, but this is what God was going to use to get the attention of the world focus on this ministry, because there was something great that was coming that Brother Branham himself didn't even know. Everybody with me? So Brother Branham said, I went out to the hospital, he said, and the nurse would see me coming down the hallway and she'd say, "Well, now you'll get well now. Here comes that preacher to pray for you." The people knew. They had confidence in the gift that God had given him. He said, "Well, I didn't know anything about divine healing, but when he met me and declared that I was born to do that, I still questioned about going out, but he said, 'I'll be with you.'" Now, let me just divert and talk a little bit about the gift of healing, all right? Because it's a specific thing. Now, just follow me here for a moment. When Brother Branham talks about this gift of healing, and if you don't mind, take your Bible. I don't have it on the screen, but take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Acts chapter 5. Now, in 1947, Brother Branham talks about the ministry that God's given to him, and he's talking about faith, and he's talking about this gift. And he said, some of you have been anointed and prayed for. Some of you, he says, have anointed the sick and prayed for them, and you have a result. Brother Branham said, some of you people, he said, some of you ministers and different people, he said, you pray for people who are sick, and you have a result. That is not the gift of healing. That is a portion of faith, but it isn't directly a gift of healing. I'm saying that's what the commission told us to do. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right? They shall drink deadly things and it shall not hurt them at all. That's the commission that God's given to us. That's right. That's correct. But Brother Branham said that's different from the gift of healing. He said, after Jesus went away, and I'm just paraphrasing, I got this on this sheet here, and I didn't want to take all of our time and read it, but I want to read some of the highlights here. He said, then after Jesus went away, many of the beloved people of God were sick and afflicted, and God gave Peter the gift of divine healing. God gave Peter the gift of divine healing. How do we know? Because people came to Peter, and they even waited and stood in his shadow as he passed by, and everything they touched related to Peter was considered sacred to them, and many people were healed just in the presence of Peter and just as he passed by, because they somehow knew and recognized that gift was operating in him. And he says they took the people on the outside of the building, they laid them down in the street, and when Peter would pass by, they would be healed, because they knew that Peter was the gift of healing sent from God to the people to be healed. They knew that God, Peter had that gift that God had sent. Now, in Acts chapter 5, in verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. The people magnified them, and the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed and with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. We have not seen a gift of healing like that until 1900 years later, Brother Branham arises on the scene. Now, let me tell you something. The commission is given to all of us, and we have the commission. If God doesn't, God doesn't appear in a cloud or a pillar of fire, we still have the commission, right? Whether it is a lot of people or a little number of people, we still have the commission. Right? Whether we have preachers or not, we still have the commission. The Great Commission was not given to ministers. It was not given to deacons. It was given to all of us. Some of you are reluctant to shake your head and acknowledge that. I'll prove that to you in just a moment here. But the Great Commission was given to all believers. It was not just given to prophets, and it was not just given to the apostles. And so that commission is true since the day it was given, and it's still true tonight. It's exactly the same tonight as it ever was in history. But based on the need, God will raise up a gift of healing. Now, Brother Branham goes on to say, he said, but the people had a need of a healer, and so God sent Peter to do a specific work, and he describes that. And he said, and there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of precious saints of God suffering tonight. Brother Branham says, this is 1947. And they are crying and cried out to God for years to restore the gift of healing to the church. And when God moved the orbits 37 years ago, when he was born, and foreordained it and sent it, many hundreds of people are passing by without recognizing it. So God did something at his birth and put a gift into the earth again, because there are so many needs within the body, but also God was going to do something specific doctrinally and prophetically in that ministry that God was raising up. And Brother Branham's fearful that people are actually missing it. He said, God moved the orbits. Now, let me tell you something. There really is a truth to that, that God arranged the heavens in a certain way, in a certain layout, because that gift was being born on the earth. Now, I've told you before, let me just remind you. When Peregrine went to Brother Branham and asked him about his father, Peregrine's father. He said, Brother Branham, I got to ask you this question about my father, because he dreams constantly. He's constantly dreaming. A lot of these dreams are true. They come to pass. But he's constantly dreaming. And he said he just seems to do it almost continuously. And he's done it for most of his life. And Brother Green asked Brother Branham, he said, is there anything to that? And Brother Branham looked at him and he said, when was he born? And he was born the same year as Brother Branham was. He said, what month? He said, around the same time. Not exactly in April, but around the same time. Brother Branham said, what happened, Brother Perry? He got caught in that constellation that was formed at my birth. And some of the spillover affected your father. And so he had the ability to dream prolifically over his whole life because he happened to be born in the same slot as Brother Branham was actually born on the earth. Now, so Brother Branham says, when God moved the orbits 37 years ago and foreordained it and sent it, many hundreds of people passing by, he says, they're not recognizing it. But God will testify of his gifts. Now, this is exactly what we saw in the book of Acts here, that God testifies of his own gifts, right? God testifies, when Peter came through, the people, passed on by. Peter was not going to find people. Peter was not holding the meeting. The people recognized that Peter had the gift, and so God was moving on their hearts to go, to find Peter. So, Brother Branham says that I was going into a drugstore one time. This is Brother Branham's story here. He says, I was going into a drugstore, and I went in, and I noticed a fellow looking at me strangely. And he said, I still have my uniform on, and this man came up and put his hand on my shoulder. And because Brother Branham had his uniform on, this man came to him and asked him this question. He said, sir, I've seen that you're an officer, and I thought I'd ask you a question. And I said, certainly. He said, what's the matter? And the man said, I live in Paducah, Kentucky, and I've been failing in health for 2 years. And last week, I had a particular dream that I should come to a place called Jeffersonville, Indiana, and get somebody by the name of Branham to pray for me. Do you know where there's any Branhams live in this town? And Brother Branham said, my, you don't know how I felt. And I thought to myself, oh, that's God testifying. That's not Brother Branham advertising that he's a healer. That's God laying it on the hearts of the people to come to that gift. Because that gift is a special gift that God places in the earth. And he said, yes, sir, I know where the Branhams live. And then, you know, he said, the man said, well, great. He said, does any of them pray for the sick? And Brother Branham said, I'm the one. And he said, he took him by the hand. Brother Branham took him by the hand, went out in the parking lot, took off his hat, and knelt down and prayed for the man. He laid his gun down, and he prayed for the man. And he said, and when I raised up, he said, the man was healed. And when I raised up, he said, it was a crowd standing around him and mothers standing there, holding their little children out for him to touch, and men with their hats off, and they formed a line waiting for him to pray for him. And he said, there's been many things like that done in Jeffersonville. And Brother Branham goes all the way down through, and he tells story after story of the people that were healed right at that particular time. And then he said there was a baby who was healed. And he said, and I thought, even though the angels of heaven know about it. Even though the people know about it, the angels of heaven know about it, and God will testify of it. His works will be declared regardless of what people think. And so when God raises up a gift of healing, it affects people, believers, unbelievers. Anybody who would come in contact with that gift would be affected by that because that gift is sent for the world and sent for the people at that particular point in time. We never had a gift like that between Peter and this gift in the last day that we're talking about. Now, when Hagar had the situation where Sarah cast her off and put her out of her house and she had her son, Ishmael, she was off and she thought she was going to die. And when she cried out to God, God told her to lift up her eyes and look, and behold, there was a well. Supernaturally, there was a well there, and she never saw it before. And the name of this well was Beer Lahairoi. And from that phrase comes one of the names of God, which is El Roy, the God who sees me. And this is what Hagar said, in my distress, in my trouble, God sees me. And that's where we got our text from there tonight. Now, it means this, that there are no circumstances in our lives that escape his fatherly awareness and care. You can't go through something that God doesn't know. You can't experience something that God does not have an answer for. this is the God that is being described back there. And Hagar, in her dilemma and in her trouble, she cries out and she says, Lord, are you there? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know what's going to happen if I don't find water or find help or something? And the name of the place was called El Roy, the God who knows us and our troubles. I'm thankful that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever you're going through tonight, God knows about it, and He knows your trouble, and He has a solution very often real close to us. He has an answer for the problem. In Psalm 139, David said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me, and Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest that my thought afar off. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know what I'm going to think even before I think it. Before I get to actually thinking my thoughts, You actually know them. That's amazing. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. That Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high. We're not like that. We don't know that kind of stuff, right? We don't even know what tomorrow holds, but God knows what we're even going to think tomorrow before we get there. And whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? You are El Roy. You are the God that knows it all, and You've got an answer for it all, even before we experience it. You're the God that cares about everything that we go through. You know it, you care about it, and you have the answers and the solutions already. And this is what David is saying here, that, you know, going through the troubles and trials that he's going through, these are the kinds of things that our God is. He's also Jehovah Rapha, more particularly. Meaning, in Jesus Christ, God has provided the final cure and the perfect cure for spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness. God heals. How many would believe that? God heals. He's still a healer tonight. Same as He ever was. And in Psalm 103, David again, he says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, thank God, and healeth all of thy diseases, thank God, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. David again. Psalm 147, the Lord has built up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. I mean, the Bible is full of things like this, right? This is not anything new for us. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And the Lord lifteth up the meek. For He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving and sing praises upon the harp unto our God. David says, therefore, the thing you ought to do is just praise God. You ought to thank God and you ought to worship God, because you know what? There's not a thing in the world else you can do. He knows your thoughts. He knows your problems. He knows the solutions already. He's a God of great power. I mean, He can know what's in my mind, and yet He can know all the names of the stars out there and name them. And, you know, He's placed them all into place, and He knows where they're going to be lined up, you know, hundreds and thousands of years, even from now. And David said, we don't think this way. This is too great for us even to imagine, but this is the God that we serve. And so therefore, don't ever get in your mind that your problem is too great for God. Don't ever think that my heart is too broken for God to handle, or God to pour oil upon the troubled waters in my life. Or don't think that my problems are so big it's not even worth praying about. Don't ever think that way, because God is still way beyond the problems that you have. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Don't ever think that God can't heal the problems that we face, because He's able to heal all of our diseases. Now, let me just, for time's sake, let me just jump you up here a little bit. In 1960, Brother Branham explains this little principle to us. And I love when Brother Branham helps us make sense of things that happen in the Bible. It's like he was there. It's like he saw it happen. These handkerchiefs, Lord, I lay my hands upon them in remembrance of St. Paul. He said, I'm doing the same thing, because this is what St. Paul did, believing that he got it in the Bible. Where did that idea come from in Paul's day? He said, where Elijah took the staff and told Gehazi, go lay it on the baby. For he knew everything he touched was blessed. And he knew that his staff was blessed. Because when the Holy Spirit was on him, his hand was on the staff. That's why when I went to Jeffersonville years ago and Brother Billy Paul gave me, he had a suit of Brother Branham, and he cut a piece off that suit and he gave it to me. I wanted it because I knew it had physically touched Brother Branham. That's not idolatry, right? Are we okay with that? I still have that prayer cloth. I often use it when we pray for folks here. And I have two pieces of it. I gave one to my mother, and I have the other piece that's with me, and I carry it with me all everywhere I go. It's one of the reasons I don't lose my wallet. I mean, you may not believe that, but that's one. I lose everything else. That's one of the reasons I don't lose my wallet. But Brother Branham said that when Elisha took that staff, he took it, and the staff was blessed, and therefore he could hand it to Gehazi and say, go take this and put it on the child. For he knew that the staff was blessed. Watch what he says now. Because when the Holy Spirit was on him, his hand was on the staff. And then to get the woman to believe it. The woman didn't believe that that staff was going to work. And she waited until she said, nope, I want you to come. I don't want the staff. I want you to come. Because the Jewish tradition was to lay hands on somebody. And so the woman, if she had faith, that staff perhaps would have worked and accomplished the same thing as Elijah did when he went to the boy. Brother Bram said, I believe that's where St. Paul must have got the scripture. So here's Elisha doing something back here, and Paul is doing a similar thing. Brother Bram says, so I'm doing that. That's why, you know, Brother Branham, to me, the great thing about his ministry was that there was a continuity between his ministry and the ministries even way back hundreds and thousands of years. Not idolatry now, but this is a person with a gift of healing, and so therefore they know that what they touch is blessed. That's why women could, in Arkansas, when Brother Branham was coming into a meeting, women would stand out there and wait 2 and 3 days in the weather, and their babies would be sick, and they would toss their babies at Brother Branham as he passed by, so the babies would touch Brother Branham and they'd be healed. And it worked. So, and be certain of God now. Here's where I need to get you. I just need 10 minutes or so more here, and I need you to follow me here now, because this is where you come in, all right? We've talked about how Jesus did things. We've talked about the prophets and how they did things. Now, here's where you come in. Now, Brother Branham says, as he often did in the sermons, now lay your hands on somebody next to you. I'll give you a scripture. These signs shall follow them that believe, and if they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's not me. It's him. And it's not my hands. It's the hands of any believer. How many believers here tonight? And let me tell you, your hands are no different than his hands. It's not my hands. It's the hands of any believer. You believe it, sister? If you believe it, your deliverance is right at the door. Now, watch what he teaches. The Gentile way is to believe him. The Gentile way is to believe him. Just absolutely believe him. Believe the promise. Believe the word. Now, we lay hands on the sick. Of course we do. But we try to bring the reality by the scripture of Jesus Christ being present. You see what he's saying? There's nothing wrong with laying on of hands. We do it. But he said we try to bring the reality of the promise of the word of God by the word of God, by the scriptures. You know why? Stop. You know why? Because if we rely upon the man, as soon as the man dies in a car wreck in 1965, people are wondering, well, is there any more healing? But healing wasn't based on William Branham. Healing was based on the promise that God gave. So Brother Branham's trying now. There's a demonstration of that physical presence that Brother Branham had where he could lay hands on the people. And he had the gift in his arm and so forth, in his forearm that would show up in the left hand. Brother George Smith told me that's why Brother Branham could never wear a watch. He would fry the gears in a watch every time he put one on. And he had to wear a watch on his right-hand side or not wear one at all. You don't see many pictures of Brother Branham with a watch. Or he had to wear one on the right hand because his left hand had such a power and the gift would operate there, it would just fry the workings of a watch and it would never work, never keep time. He asked Brother George. He'd be at the men's meeting there. But he said, we try to bring the reality by the scripture of Christ being present. Then, when you, by faith, reach up and touch him, Hebrews 3, now he's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He can be touched just as well tonight as he was then. Somebody say, oh, now they got to listen now. Well, you know, brother so-and-so, some minister or evangelist laid hands on me and the Lord healed me. That makes everybody want to see that brother to lay hands on somebody. Are we okay? After all, it wasn't a brother's hands that did it. It's your faith what does it. I don't care who comes through here to pray for the sick. And I don't care if it's me or anybody else. You know what? My hands are just hands. So when the evangelist leaves town, the pastor is just a little bitty fellow in the sight of the congregation, usually. Listen, folks. I'm not saying this for any other reason except it's here. I don't have any issue with this at all. So when the evangelist leaves town, the pastor is just a little bitty fellow in the sight of the congregation, usually, and they think they have to have the evangelist back in town before anybody can be healed. Don't you never believe that. It's your faith in God that does the healing. Now, if you can touch him, then nobody laid hands on you. It was your faith that touched him, and your faith that brought the reality. Do you understand the difference? There's nothing wrong with laying on of hands. We do it. We believe in it. There's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes people are more comfortable when there's a point of contact and it's not a problem. Also, the Bible says that we should anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And that's not a problem. That's not a contradiction. But Brother Man is letting us know that you're healed not because somebody's hands are laid on you. You're healed because of your faith in the supernatural God who's present and able to heal us the same as he ever was. That's how healing occurs. Is that all right? Does that make sense? Brother Branham goes on to say in questions and answers on the seals. Therefore, he said it would not be the human flesh only just to perform the act like baptism or so forth with a commission like these signs shall follow them that believe. So if we, you know, if we just said, all right, we're going to stand 11 up in the water tonight and, you know, let them be baptized spiritually. Hey, that's not the same, right? We got to actually lay hands on them. We got to put them under the water and bring them back up. It's a physical thing. So leaven is not, he's not any more saved because I grab him or if Brother Branham was here and baptized him. You know that? Because he's not saved by me. He's saved by the blood of Christ. Right? So it isn't the hands. And that's what Brother Branham's trying to teach us here. By laying hands on the sick, the Holy Spirit would see to it that they would get well if they believe. Did you hear that? By laying hands on the sick, the Holy Spirit would see to it that they would get well if they believed. How much more would he also see that we are healed if we believed in the supernatural presence by the Word of God? While you're sitting right there in your pew, you're sitting there saying, I got a problem, Lord. I came to it with a problem tonight. Brother Barry doesn't know anything about it. And I'm claiming my healing. You can do that right there where you're sitting tonight without having anybody to lay hands on you. It'd be no different, no less, no better at all than if you came here or if Brother Branham was here and discerned your thoughts and intentions. It would be no different at all because we're not healed by that. We're healed by faith in a supernatural God who's a healer tonight the same as he ever was. Queen of Sheba. Now, Brother Rand said, other people have different kinds of ministries, but the way I teach divine healing is the work at the cross that has been completed for you. The work of the cross has been done. You know, just like the brass serpent and everything else, you know, he refers to this. But he said, the work has already been done at Calvary. And you say, well, how do you place your ministry to theirs, like Oral Roberts and so on? He said, they're using scripture by laying on of hands. And he said, that's true. That's a Bible doctrine. But I want you to show you that's not a Gentile commission. Jairus said, come lay hands on my daughter and she'll be healed. And Jesus was always laying on hands. Everything is laying on hands. It's not a problem to do that. But watch the Gentile. It wasn't so. The centurion. Lord, my servant layeth home sick, nigh unto death. He got the palsy. And Jesus gets up and he starts to head to the man's house. And the Roman centurion, the Gentile, stops him and says, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will live. You remember the story? And Jesus turns to the people and says, whoa. He says, I have not seen faith like this. No, not in Israel. There it is. We're supposed to be on a higher level than that was. So in other words, a Shunammite mother who was waiting for Elijah to come and lay hands on the son would not accept the stick, would not accept the word. She had to have the prophet come into the house there. Hey, the boy was healed, and we're thankful for that. But Brother Branham said we're supposed to be on a higher level than that was, and we're living in a closer to the world's end than we were then. The Gentile way is to believe the word. Now let me ask you a question here. Do we need God to send another healing ministry into this earth today to prove that God's a healer? Why not? Because he's given us plenty of evidence. 1,147 tapes were practically, healing was talked about in every single one of them. As evidence enough, I can bring you people in here who were healed. We're talking about doing some interviews with some of the people who were in Brother Branham's meetings and getting their testimonies on tape because many of them are getting old and we're living in Brother Branham's time. But who were there in the meetings, supernaturally healed, and believed God and trusted God. They knew it wasn't William Branham. They knew it was the supernatural God that accompanied that ministry and so forth. And testify of the same. And Brother Branham said, all right, he said, now we're living closer to the world's end than what they were even back then. Should God have to come and demonstrate things in order to stimulate our faith? I say, no, our faith should already be at a higher level because of all the word that, hey, listen, why all the preaching and why all the ministry and why all the church services if our faith is not rising? Come on, somebody say amen. Our faith should be rising. Our body's weary. We live in stressful times. We live in times like no other age that we lived in, and diseases and all the other things that are going on. But the inner man, the faith man, that should be on a higher level than any other age in the last 2,000 years because of all the word that God's given to us. Divine healing. There may be things I don't understand, things that I can't bring to pass. With my little weak faith that I have, maybe I can't bring it to pass, but it's still the truth. It's God's word. Regardless of what anyone says, I believe it to be the word of God. Maybe I can't bring it to pass, but it's still the truth. It's God's word. Regardless of what anybody says, I believe it to be the word of God. And if I prayed for 10,000 people today and 10,000 died in the morning, tomorrow night I'd be here praying for the sick just the same because God's word says so. It's not based on results. It's not based on how popular you are. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's the promise that God has made. It's the commission that God's given. It is the gift that God gave to Brother Branham to get the attention of the world. And Brother Branham's saying that even sometimes his faith, and many, many different quotes I left out, but he says sometimes, my faith is just not where it should be. Not as high as it should be, because we're all human beings. And he said, maybe I can't bring it to pass, but it's still true. No matter how we feel, God's word is still true, right? No matter what happens to you, God's promises are still real and true. Are we okay? You gotta let God be God, folks. Now, Brother Branham says, lay hands over on one another. Come ye saints of faith, of light, proclaim Jesus the light of the world. Your commission, friends, as a believer, to lay hands on the sick. It is not just for ministers. It is not just for prophets. As a believer, you're commissioned to lay hands on the sick. Let's stand to our feet. I'd like to have a word of prayer with you, and I'm going to slip out and prepare for the baptism. And anybody, we're going to baptize 11, and anybody else that would like to be baptized, we're certainly willing to do that tonight. But just as you're standing now and got your affairs in order there, Brother Matt, if you just play softly, I'd just like you to bow your head for a moment. Just each one. And I'd like you to do this. I'd like you just tonight, just by the raising of your hand, if there's something in your life you'd love to see healed, just slip your hand up to God and just say, Lord, you know my heart, you know the thing I'm going through, you know the thing I'm dealing with. And it might be for somebody else even. But you're burdened with this thing that you can't fix. All right. You can put your hands down. Now, if you don't mind, since just about every hand was raised, Lay your hands over on one another. Heavenly Father, you see the hearts of your children, Lord. We are not an unbelieving people, but Lord, we're a believing people. We believe your word. We believe, Lord, you sent a prophet with a gift, a special gift in our time. That, Lord, we might be blessed, that we might be benefited. And Lord, there might be a reminder to us, a really strong demonstration. God is not dead. He's not off in a distant fog somewhere. But he's alive and he's real and he's nigh, even as close as the breath we breathe. And now in the name of Jesus Christ, for us, Lord, who are believers and we're commissioned to lay hands on one another, trusting, Lord Jesus, that you're able to bring your healing virtue even from simple and sinful hands just like ours, we lay hands on one another and pray, Father, that you would just minister to each and every one, Lord, and touch hearts and lives, and Lord, may they be completely healed and made well. And as we bind our faith together tonight, Lord, touching one another, I pray for Sister Molly again and ask, oh God, that you would just raise her up from that sick bed. Lord, we know her heart, her desire would be to be in this building tonight and to be assembled with the saints of the Most High God. And so, Lord, we claim her tonight and we pray for her healing. We pray, Lord, that you would touch her and minister to her and make her well. And Lord, whatever the need is here tonight, we know you are still El Roy. Nothing is too great for you, and there's nothing you don't know about. And there is always a solution when it comes to our God. You're still Jehovah Rapha tonight, the God who heals our diseases. And Lord, you bore the stripes on Calvary's cross, that in the act of redemption, Lord, that we would also be able to experience healing. You're the God who heals all of our diseases. May our faith raise, and may our confidence in your word, Lord, may it raise to the point where we can claim these things, Lord, and believe that you care about all we go through. Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word. We believe your word and trust you tonight. And I commit the people into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. You want to go back out there? Oh, heal me, O Lord, and I will. Again now together. Oh, heal me, oh,
save me, and I will be saved. Oh, heal me. Oh,
let's sing that. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Once again now. Oh, there is none like you, Jesus. Oh, no one else can touch my heart like you. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, I Exalt Thee? I Exalt Thee. I Exalt Thee. I now just lift your hands and worship Him. We exalt Thee. Oh, we exalt Thee. We exalt Thee. Oh,
but he's made this decision on his own, and God's dealt with him since he's been here. Just move that back a little water, if you don't mind. And just feeling that, you know, God has dealt with his heart, and this is the profession that he wants to make and the step that he wants to make himself. And so this is a great thing. So as a congregation, we need to pray for Levin and just pray that the Lord will just fill him with his Holy Spirit and just take control of his life, just take complete ownership of Levin, and make him a new creature in Christ, because that's the promise. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things are passed away, all things become new. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence and thank you so much for this opportunity we have, Lord, to be able to baptize another wayward saint. And Lord, we know that as we stand here tonight, Lord, and we look at this and how happy and grateful we are, Lord, even the angels in heaven, Lord, they must be watching and rejoicing over the fact that one lost sheep has come back. And so we're just rejoicing with them tonight by faith. And dear God, we pray that you would take Levin, Lord, into your hands. Take him as a newborn child now. And just nurture him, feed him, strengthen him, fill him with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may he walk in newness of life. I commit him into your care now. Forgive him of every sin and every offense, Lord, knowing that we came into the world and we come into the world speaking lies, separated from you, Lord, and we can do nothing about it. But Lord Jesus, you gave us a remedy, and tonight we practice that remedy of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we commit him to you now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hold one hand, cover your face with the other one. 11, based on your desire to walk in obedience to the Scripture and to walk in newness of life, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Do we know that song, "Have You Been Baptized Into the Body"? Never played that? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, "This Is My Desire." Oh, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Let's sing it again from the top. Hallelujah. Oh, this is my desire to honor you. Oh, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Just lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. All I have within me, oh, I'm gonna give you praise. All that I adore is in you. I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your my soul, and I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Amen. Aren't you glad you made that step one day? Walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Brother Matt, could we sing that Draw Me Close to You? Amen. Let's sing that song, Draw Me Close to You. Amen. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. That's right. Amen. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm good. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your grace. Help me find the way. Oh, bring me back to you. 'Cause you're all. Sing it now with all your hearts. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Amen, that sounds nice. Let's sing that again. Draw me close to you. Oh, never let me go. I'd lay it all down again to hear you say that I've. My desire, oh Jesus, no one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your. Find a way, Lord, bring me back to you. 'Cause you're all I want, Jesus. You're all I've ever. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer as we're dismissed this evening. As musicians play that softly. Heavenly Father, it's just been wonderful to be in your presence tonight, Lord God. Lord, we want you to know how much we thank you and we love you. Lord, for coming down and speaking to our hearts, Lord God. Help us to know, Lord Jesus, that you're near to us, Father. Oh, Lord, thank you for your precious word, Lord, that helps us get through the days, Lord, the darkness that's ahead of us, Father. Oh, Lord, it's the light in front of our feet, Lord Jesus. It lights the path, Lord, to glory. Oh, God, help us to take each step by faith, God. Lead the way, Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, God. I pray you go with each one to their homes tonight, Lord God. I pray that you just have your way in our lives, God. Minister to our hearts through the week, God. And may our hearts, Lord, just burn within us with this fresh word, Lord God. I pray that you would just bring us back at the appointed times, God. Lord, bless your servant, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would be with him as he travels, Lord. Lord, the sick and afflicted that have been mentioned, God, we have faith, Lord, and we believe your word to be true, God, and we claim their healings in Jesus' name. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We'll walk in the light. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love.